Turn with me, if you would, to the fourth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with the 13th verse. Let us pray. Lord God, today we are reading of salt and light. Make us your salt and light through these words and through our life as we follow you and follow the teachings we hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So when I was in graduate school in Oxford, Mississippi, I spent some time doing the very thing that my undergraduate degree had prepared me to do, which was wash dishes. It was in a vegetarian restaurant. It was called the Henry Cafe. But the owner's name was John. And John served rice and beans basically every day in this restaurant. It was the second vegetarian restaurant in town. And every now and then, the owner, John, would come through the kitchen. And it didn't matter what we were cooking, what dish was on the menu that day, there was only ever one criticism of the food. John would taste the homemade dishes made from scratch, and he would give his one comment. What do you think it was?
More salt.
Needs more salt. And sometimes it really did need salt. Other times, we had intentionally put enough salt in because we knew John would come around and test it, and it still didn't have enough salt. We didn't want to kill anybody with salt. But no matter the preparation, no matter the ingredients, everything needed more salt. One note, one tune needs more salt. Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount with two metaphors for his disciples. The first is salt. When Jesus talks about salt, he would state it like my friend John. The kingdom needs more salt. And guess what? You are the salt. Jesus is telling us what he wants for this world today. The salt that Jesus desires is the kind that leaves a taste and preserves. Because salt was very rare and hard to find in Jesus' day. Much harder to find than it is today. Salt preserves meat and food. Without refrigerators, you can only imagine how valuable it is, in addition to the kind of taste that it gives. We are the ones who are preserving Jesus' message in the world today. If we live and write his teachings on our hearts, the flavor of the salt of the kingdom will be for this world. That Jesus will be able to spread that salt taste to everyone. Now, Jesus warns us that salt can lose its taste. This doesn't really happen with table salt or the salt that you keep in your house. Morton Salt says with their iodine, which kind of breaks down salt a little bit, salt will last 5 years. Lasts a long time. But out in nature, rainwater can hit salt and dissolve the sodium chloride part of the salt, the salt part of the salt, and leave a white powder behind that looks a whole lot like salt. But if you taste it, if you try to use it, it's just an empty white dust powder. This is the worst thing that can happen for Christians, is to look like Christians on the outside, but not to be Christians on the inside or in our behavior. To have the appearance of the kingdom, but none of the taste, none of the properties. Jesus will use this image later in the story about the leaders of his day. But he means it about us too. It's covering up the truth of the story. It's trying to whitewash, as Jesus would say, to whitewash a grave. Whitewashing is the worst thing that we can do for our history and for who we are. This is Black History Month. And oftentimes in this month, we should reflect on the times when we have whitewashed our lives. You see, when I was growing up, we would go to the Gum Tree Festival. It was on the grounds of the courthouse. And there would be the kind of things that kids didn't really care for, but adults loved. And you know what I mean, crafts and arts. As kids, if it didn't have to do with toys or little guns or things, we did not care about that. So we would run around in the bushes around the courthouse. And the courthouse in Lee County had a basement on the outside, it was stone, but over the wall there was kind of a area there that had been painted over. And on that area it had said colored. It was whitewashed over. I wonder if my own community growing up had dealt with its racism and had dealt with the things that it needed to be truly salt in our community. I wondered if we had really dealt with justice, because I could still see it under the paint. Jesus is saying to us, you can never have too much salt in the earth. You can never have too much justice. You can never have fixed things enough to make things right. There's always more you can do. There's always more salt you can put. There's always more kingdom that you can put in. There's never too much agape love in the world. There's never too much caring. There's never too much righteousness and justice. The challenge for us today is to be salt in a world that wants sugar. As we saw this morning, the kids get sugar up here every Sunday, don't they? And we get sugar everywhere in this world. But really what we need is more of the healthy things in life, don't we? There once was a professor from Russia who came to Mississippi to talk about Faulkner, William Faulkner. I was amazed that somebody from Russia had even read Faulkner. But he loved Faulkner. And the issues that Faulkner dealt with in his literature, he described it this way when someone asked him about what he thought about Hemingway. He said, reading Hemingway is like eating ice cream. Sure, it tastes good, but it's not really good for you. Reading Faulkner is like eating broccoli. It doesn't go down very easy. It may not taste great, but you're much better off for having eaten it. This is what Jesus is trying to say to us today through this metaphor of salt. The easy things in life, the easy way of the world, is not the way that he wants us to live. Instead, it is the challenging words of the Beatitudes that we heard earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, or any of the other challenging commandments of the Scriptures. For Jesus is calling us to be salt and light in this world. Because that's the other image Jesus uses, is this image of light. If the city of God is filled with light in the darkness of this world, the world will see the goodness and the righteousness that needs to be done. Ronald Reagan used to use this image of America as the city on the hill. This was not an image that Reagan came up with himself, but it's an image that Jesus gives us of what the church, what Christ's disciples are calling us, what Jesus is calling us to be as his disciples. Jesus, the light of the world, the very light of the world, says that we are the light of the world. That if goodness and right ways are going to be lit up for the world to see light in the darkness, then we will be the ones shining and doing it. Think of a cell phone in the dark at a concert, or maybe think of a cell phone in the dark of your room that is keeping you awake. Do what's right. Do what's good. Be seen doing what is right and doing what is good. And let the world know what is right and what is good. Finally, Jesus talks about the Scriptures. And we need to be clear about this with Jesus, because we hear teachings from Jesus in this passage. And let's be clear. The Old Testament is good. And Jesus wants us to follow the words of the Old Testament, particularly the commandments that are given in the Old Testament. A testament is an agreement or a covenant. When we talk about the Old Testament, sometimes we get confused by and think that the word old there means defunct or past. Maybe a better way to refer to the Old Testament would be the Older Testament, the older covenant. Because Jesus says here that he didn't come to change it, that it's still in effect. Jesus came not to change it, but to fulfill it, to complete it. To talk about a new testament or a new covenant makes no sense without the old. Maybe a better way to say it is a renewed covenant in Jesus. And Jesus is more emphatic than that. When he describes a not changing the words of Scripture, Jesus says in the King James Version, he says, we would not change the Scriptures one jot or one tittle. We use the word jot now every now and then to jot something down, to write it down. But originally, the King James is trying to get across a Hebrew idea there. That a jot is the letter yod in Hebrew, and a tittle is a tet, a T. Maybe a better way to say it is, Jesus would not change a dot above an I or the cross on a T. He's saying that he would not change any shade of meaning of the words of Scripture. The things that people who read manuscripts and argue about. Jesus wants to be clear about the Old Testament and the force of the Old Testament. Do the commandments and teach them. Learn the commandments and teach them. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the top two commandments Jesus teaches. And then the Ten Commandments, especially the harder ones. Coveting. Bearing false witness or lying, honoring your aging parents. The grace that Jesus gives and calls us to forgiveness also calls us to a higher standard of living. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed by the Nazis at the end of World War II, divided it into cheap grace and costly grace, expensive grace. Cheap grace is receiving the forgiveness of Jesus and then doing nothing about it. Costly grace is receiving that same forgiveness and living a life that embodies those commandments. I remember years ago there was a debate about the Ten Commandments being put up in public spaces. Was it okay for the government to display them in courthouses and public buildings? Back then we lived in Georgia, and our courthouse then, in the main courtroom, around the top of the room, there were 10 Roman numerals. I always wondered when I came into the courthouse, did anybody notice that those numbers were on the wall? And if they did notice that they were there, did anybody have a clue what they said or what they meant. Today, Jesus is not calling us to lead public demands to display the Ten Commandments. Instead, Jesus is calling us not to be like those who talk about the Ten Commandments, like those Pharisees of his day, but to have an idea of following them, especially the hard parts. Jesus is calling us to live these commandments in order to show them lived and to show who gave them. This section of the Sermon on the Mount is about hope, that all the scriptures are profitable, as the New Testament says, for study, to show the world that God is alive and that God is at work in the world through us. If people in this world are going to see and come to know Christ, it must be through the work that our community does together in our community in the world. May we as a church be salt and light that others may see. May we base everything we do on the commandments of scriptures that we hear. And may we live a life that shines light that others may see and give salt that others may taste to know that Jesus Christ is still alive. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to be the salt of the earth, to give a kingdom taste to everything that we see, to everyone that we know. And help us to be the light of the world, that darkness will not win, but that light, mercy, justice will shine through, and that all may come to know your goodness, your mercy, your love, and the hope that we have in you. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, come.